Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to the Ask Evie Show. And you are listening live with Evie Kane, and a special thank you to each and every one of you for being here today with me on this beautiful sunny Friday afternoon in Southern California. And for anyone new who's listening, the purpose of this show is to give people a forum to ask about whatever personal challenges may be up for them in their life right now, whether it's in the area of relationships, career, family, and hopefully get a little guidance with compassion and kindness. Being both a practical mystic and a psychotherapist, I'll attempt to offer guidance both from psychology and spirit. And so let's get ready to rock and roll here. I wanted to start by saying thanks for all the wonderful email questions that have been coming in to answer for the show every week. And we still were getting animal questions this week for Camille. And I wanted to let you know that if you email Camille directly through 12listen.com, she's happy to, you know, speak with you in that capacity where she works as a professional psychic and animal communicator. So let's get going then. I wanted to let you know the lines are open and the number to call in and talk live with your question is 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. And on bbsradio.com and also askevyradio.com, there's some additional call-in numbers should the lines be busy, and it's also the capability for international folks or you to Skype in. So let me start with some of the amazing email questions that came in this week. And the first one is from Natalie in New York. And Natalie writes, I've been involved with a well-known spiritual transformation and personal growth organization for 6 years. And I've taken all the trainings, and I helped actively enroll people in ongoing classes. I was delighted when I was sort of elevated to become a staff member, which was considered to be quite a coup, and I love doing it. The sad part for me is that in the last year or so, as I moved more and more into a leadership position, some, quote, ugly truths that went on behind the scenes I've been struggling with, it didn't really match what we were supposedly about, i.e. spiritual growth and transformation. I left corporate America to do this and get away from that same kind of what I call ugly politics, and didn't expect to find it in a spiritual organization. This seeming hypocrisy makes me sad and, frankly, angry. And increasingly, when I raise some of these issues, I feel stonewalled and like maybe I don't belong and yet I don't want to leave. You have any suggestions on this? And then she writes in parenthesis, by the way, Natalie is not my real name. And, you know, Natalie, when I read that last thing that you wrote about that not being your real name, there was kind of a sadness that washed over me. It sounds like that there's also some fear, you know, like if this were known, then I would be drummed out of the tribe or something. And so, you know, I have quite a few hits on this for you. The first one is you talk about the ugly politics and you left corporate America and, gee, here it is again. And what I found in life is politics is not just during elections or in corporate America. Politics is a word we tend to use. It's really about the dynamics of when people get together and are working, and as any organization grows, if people aren't really conscious of power and having their ego in check. Those are the things that can kind of begin to grow and overshadow things. And what I'm going to say to you, Natalie, is it sounds like it isn't a match for you anymore. That I pick up you're very loyal, that you want to do what's best for the people that you brought in, and almost sort of like a longing for the good old days, and what's up now isn't really the same. And you're speaking up, and I find, you know, as I tune into you, you're a positive person, and you just, it's not like you're trying to be complaining and whatever, but somehow it's being perceived like that. And what I'll say to you is, when you stay in an environment that long, that sort of begins to go toxic, or that isn't supporting you, or isn't like, you know, it's changed, there's not a vibrational match anymore, it's really time for you to move on. Because if you stay in that, your environment can kind of win out. And what I mean by that is it'll take a lot more to maintain your sanity. And already, to ask a really truthful and wonderful question, there's that feeling like you need to hide your identity or perhaps be punished. You know, and I wanted to share with you, Natalie, that as I was reading that, and Natalie was not your real name, Spirit guided me to look up the meaning of the name Natalie. I wanted to share it with you. And Natalie means Christ's birthday. In an ancient, olden times, any baby born on Christmas was given that name. Merry Christmas in Italian is actually Buono Natale, meaning good birthday. And, you know, Christ being an avatar and as a bringer of light and wisdom and hope, you know, maybe it's time for a new birthday, Natalie. So I wish you all the best. And if you have any more information you want, just please, you know, email me again, or even better, maybe call in. Okay, and the lines are open at 888-815-9756. And I'll move right along to our next email question, which is from Sherry from Sonoma, California, who writes that she is a single mom and she has a 2.5-year-old son who, up until the present, has been like the apple of her eye and the light of her life. Good for you, Sherry. And recently, in the last few months, he's been exhibiting these behaviors of, when he gets upset or frustrated, saying, "I hate you, Mommy, and I wish you were dead. Get away from me. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you." And I don't understand this change in him and why he's acting so hateful towards me and saying these things, and it upsets me deeply. Well, Sherry, what I want to say to you is that your son is exhibiting what we call age-appropriate behavior. You know, we refer to the terrible twos and threes. I don't want to label it as that. But that's an age when kids begin to exhibit what parents call tantrums. And what we can look at is he is just starting to express his feelings. And children that age don't really have a concept of death being as something permanent. It's his way of saying, I need some space and get out of my face. And he clearly does not hate you, Sherry, as I tune into you. And by the way, your name means dear one. And he does love you so much. What I sense in him is he has a lot of power and feeling and intensity, and he doesn't know what to do with it. And he's wanting to, like, strike out on his little own and explore the world and, you know, perhaps even want to run across the street. And, of course, you're trying to restrain him and make sure that doesn't happen. And this is the way that he is responding. So, you know, if you can look at it in that light, it's his frustration with having all this power and a pint-sized body. You're doing the appropriate thing as a parent, and sometimes you get flack for it. So, and this too shall pass. So lots of love to you, Sherry, and Thanks for the question. And we have Kristen from Toronto calling in. Kristen, are you there?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, Kristen, hello? I can. Well, Kristen, can you hear me?
I can. Sorry, I'm calling on Skype, so I don't know if there's a delay or not.
You're great. You're good. Welcome to the show. How can I help you today?
Well, I'm just wondering if you have anything come through from my guides. My Kundalini was awakened a few years ago, so I've been going through an awakening process, and I keep getting messages from them that I'm towards the end of the difficult part, and I'm just wondering if there's any guidance that they have for me through you.
What I'm hearing when they said that you're near the end of the difficult part, what I sense is that you've had some, I'm being the mistress of understatement saying this, but sort of frustration with the challenges that have been happening in life and kind of like feeling like there hasn't been the light at the end of the tunnel and feeling some emotional up and downs and circumstances that kind of match that. Does that resonate with you?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And this is actually a topic I'm going to talk about on the inspiration point today, is getting through those trying times. They've given you the clear message. You're almost at the end of it. Seeing that our human self says, well, that's all well and good for you guys to say, you know, what about now? And I've been through so much, and when is this coming to an end? And I thought there's light at the end of the tunnel, and oh my God, it's a train. And the message that I get loud and clear for you is that it's time for you to kind of pull in and pull back from trying to do so much for people and to try and churn some of that light and love in yourself, that this is going to, that it is coming to an end. And it's like working with that little self part of us that wants it taken away yesterday because I've had enough of this. Thank you very much. And it's like trying to, that even while you're going through this time, it's so important for you to take good care of yourself and to do some things that make you feel good and bring you some joy and happiness while it's passing.
Yeah, exactly. I keep getting that too. To play more and not be in my head as much.
and focus
on the joy.
And do you have children, Kristen?
Nope, but I have a dog, and he helps.
Yeah, well, that's
me grounded,
that's what I'm picking up. There's, you know, because I was thinking, I was seeing you like out in a park watching like kids on swings and playing and just running with your dog, and you know how one, you know, for them, and there's just, we, you know, they let us know that we're come on out and play. Throw the ball, run around, and that will really help to lighten things up for you as you're going through these times.
Okay.
Okay,
great.
Thanks so much for the call, Kristen. We'll see you. Okay, great. So let me move on to our next email question. I'm going to say the lines are open. Let me give you the number again, 888-815-9756. And our next question is from Mark from North Carolina, who writes that he and his wife are, you know, students of the Law of Abundance, and they had wanted to put a bid on a house. They really believed it was theirs. They named it. They claimed it. He writes, I did all the right stuff. And at the last moment, somebody came in and outbid us, and it's gone. And my wife and I are you know, wondering what the heck went wrong here. You know, we did all the right stuff, and we thought that house was ours, and it didn't happen. And, Mark, what I'll say to you is, yeah, that's a disappointment, of course. You wanted that house. And one of the things I'll suggest to you, it's hard to hear in this time when we're just going through that loss, nothing's ever really lost in the universe. What I would say is that house, as much as you felt it and named it and claimed it and wanted it, was probably not the right house for you. I think you're going to find that there's one that's even better. And to hold that faith and keep doing what you were doing, it's this or something better, because that's what we can see with our earthly mind, and it awakens something in us that we wanted a house like that. The other thing where you're student in the law of attraction is important to pay attention to: when we just focus on that house, it actually slows down the process, because the universe could be trying to send us something better. And because we've just put in that very limited thing in the shopping cart, it could take longer. So be open to that there's something even better coming. In this little theme today, you know, I kept on looking after that hit with Natalie to check the meaning of people's names. And Mark, your name means strength of the warrior. And when I think of warriors, it isn't always about going to war. It's about that strength to endure and to keep going towards that goal and having what you want. So thanks so much for that. And now we're ready to take our first commercial break. You've heard me talk about Healthy Feet, that amazing product that you can use to get rid of calluses on your feet, those amazing buffing pads. And I wanted to tell you about a new product that the same company has come out with, that it's a callus removal product that's drops that you can put on the buffing pads that really enhance how the calluses just start to literally fall off. It's a citrus-based, non-toxic green product, therefore it doesn't burn. It can be applied directly on your skin if you have some real problems with calluses, or on the buffing pad, and it helps to soften them and build, you know, these heavy calluses, that heavy callus buildup, for easy removal. So I highly recommend them to you, and you can check them out at HealthyGlowSkinProducts.com. That's HealthyGlowSkinProducts.com. And once again, if you do order anything from this company, they will give you free shipping if you just make a note that you are calling in from Ask Evie Radio. And we now have Jill calling in. Jill, are you on the line?
Yes.
Jill, hi. Where are you calling from?
Well, it's a small town. I'd rather not say.
I'm so sorry. How insensitive of me. Yep. Of course. Welcome to the show.
Well, no problem.
And how can I help you today, Jill?
Well, you know, it's funny. I had a reading from a pretty good psychic. But to be honest, it sort of messed me up in that she said that all my guides were saying it's time to let go of the relationship I'm in. And I just don't know if that feels right for me, if I'm, and what bothered me so much is that she said there's someone else that I was really meant to be with, trying to, sort of waiting for me to let go of this person. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm kind of confused on what to do.
Well, the hit that I'm getting is letting go does not always mean leaving a relationship.
Okay.
Letting go can be about letting go of the relationship the way that it is right now, to get focused in your own life. As sometimes we can, we all have this, you know, that we, you know, it's like we can be with someone, they start to exhibit behaviors, and we want to change them. You know,
right.
Our relationship
right.
would be great if it wasn't for you, you know. How about this, that, and the other? And I'm just saying that in general terms. Now,
right.
So if the reason that you were calling a psychic and asking about your relationship and wondering that would let someone know that your satisfaction level perhaps isn't very high in the relationship right now. Correct?
I guess so.
Okay. So basically what I think would be helpful to you is, you know, your guides are saying let go of the relationship. What I find is that sometimes we may want to hold on to something, and while we're holding on, something better does not come in. However, you can let go of what you're wanting from this particular person in this relationship and act in ways that are more how you wish this person would be.
That,
and get focused on your life.
Right. That feels good. Okay.
That feels good. Yeah, because it really is all about us. It's funny, you know,
right.
The more we try and change somebody, we don't have the power to change people. Have you noticed that? We can't love them into it, yell them into it, shame them into it, blame them into it. You know, but it's funny, it's like when we let up on people sometimes and we just get focused on ourselves that no matter what I'm going on in my life, it's funny how, you know, they can begin to change. So that would be my guidance to you. And I always say that you have
that
to kind of get
a lot lighter
clear.
To
I'm sorry, what did you say?
That
Jill,
feels
I'm
a
sorry.
Lot lighter to me. Yeah, so that feels right. Thank you.
Okay. You're so very welcome, and thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. And our next email question, I love this one, was from Patricia in Los Angeles, who writes, "Dear Evie, I'm a counselor whose business depends on referrals. And in today's economy, people are understandably prioritizing their money on those things they absolutely have to have. And counseling is often seen as a luxury. What suggestions do you have for me to still make a good enough income during these challenging times?" What a great thought-provoking question. Thanks, Patricia. And I have lots to say about this. First of all, as I tune into you, I have a sense that you are one of the best-kept secrets in town. And what I mean by that is your clients love you, and they have been, you know, referring you business over the years, and somehow what's ever going on, that's seeming to drop off a little bit, and you're getting a little fearful, you know, because of the cash flow issue, which, you know, all entrepreneurs deal with. I also tune in that you've been getting the hit to do other things and try other venues, and you've been resisting some of them. Spirit tells me that you are an incredibly talented writer, and they're kind of, I think, giving you the message, it's time to open up. It's a big, wide world. There's a lot of people waiting to hear what you have to say. The great experience you've been having with your clients over the years, there's like our... that your business is local and global, and they're wanting you to be able to communicate with more people. So I'm hearing things like blogging and newsletters and that sort of thing. There's like, I know, especially with counselors, you know, having been in the profession myself, there's a thing of like where we're taught humbleness, which is so important, not having a big ego, and also like marketing is almost tantamount to a four-letter word, you know, about selling ourselves and our services. And I encourage you, Patricia, to look at that it's your intention, you know, that it's like people really don't know about you except word of mouth, and that's very powerful. And my sense is Spirit's kind of poking at you by not having that coming in as strongly because they're wanting you to kind of broaden your base, broaden your horizon. And the other thing they were pointing out to me, and I looked at your languaging here, you know, that you're a counselor whose business depends on referrals. Referrals are not source. The referrals are coming through your clients, but I would throw open my arms to source and get those messages about that. Because I hear that you're always taken care of. And but that you're wanting more and that you're maybe in a place of fear. And I'm smiling at the how can I make a good enough income during these challenging times. Spirit wants you to know you have a good enough income. They want you to be abundant. And so maybe looking at, I'm going to give you a resource, and this is for everybody, because a lot of these questions, you know, it's not just counselors that are going, so many people are going through this. I found for myself, and I still have to work with this on a daily basis, many times we block our own abundance. We get fear, and it's like throwing a kind of, it's like a wide hose that, you know, the water's flowing through and it's abundant like that. But then when we get fearful, we can kind of, it's like putting a kink in the hose and we have to unkink the hose. So some of it is looking at our own beliefs about money and abundance. So I wanted to offer to you, Patricia, there is a presentation that I put together as a little website for some light workers a few years back called buildyourangelbusiness.com, buildyourangelbusiness.com. And on there, there is a wonderful little questionnaire that kind of shows you your true feelings about money and abundance. And I'm picking up that if you were to take that and find out the ones that are up for you, what I like about this particular questionnaire is it helps to bring up your unconscious blocks to money. Because most people are like, but I'm a student of, you know, law of attraction and I believe and bring it in and so on and so forth. This will help to bring up some of the other ones. And sometimes that's what's in the way. So I get that they want you to go public. They want you playing on a bigger stage, however that looks for you. And that you have so much to give. And more importantly, so much to receive. And that there's maybe a little out of balance with the giving and some issues about taking in what is your divine birthright of financial abundance. And I do hear it's time for you to go public, to get out of the office, into the community, onto the web. So bless you, Patricia, and thank you so much for that question. And by the way, Patricia, your name comes from the word patrician, which we associate with nobility. And of course, nobility was always well known. They were the leaders. So thanks so much. And we're seeing that the lines are open at 888-815-9756. And let me move along to a question from Cheryl from Australia. And this was an awesome question that she wrote in. Let me get to it. That choosing to walk a path where you openly engage in spiritual healing practices can take you away from mainstream medicine. And yet sometimes when you hit the wall and feel down and out for the count, it seems vital to bring both into balance. Do you have any guidance about finding balance and navigating the path to both spiritual and physical healing? I figure where this question is hitting me so much in my own journey at the moment, I thought that, you know, maybe it's a good thing for you to raise on the show. Because quite often as we move through spiritual growth, our body seems to go through a purge of some sort. Isn't that the truth? Our body has such wisdom. It's like throwing off all the toxins and all the things that are out of balance. And, you know, Cheryl, I just want to say that your name means beloved. You know, when I think of that, I think of Rumi, you know, the beloved, our highest self. And it's like people that are so much working with helping people and being in the light and in going through and giving and giving. And sometimes we're out of balance, you know, and then sometimes we're giving so much, we're not taking care of ourselves. And so, you know, this was a perfect lead-in for the point I wanted to talk today about the balance and the things that we go through, physically as well as emotionally and spiritually. What I was calling is, how do we keep on keeping on when we seem like we're going through a lot of trying times, whether we have the kind of physical challenges that Cheryl's alluding to, or the economic challenges and feeling like, you know, like that Patricia was alluding to. And, you know, that yours truly, you know, all of us go through this. It's it's a time on the planet where, you know, we might be starting new things, we're trying to do things, and we get kind of very hard on ourselves. And you might have a big chuckle out of this. I wanted to talk about this week, and I was like, well, where am I going to find the time to fit this in? And I have so much to do. Blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking some of you might be able to relate. And I was saying to the angels, you promised that you would help with this show. And well, I want to tell you that yesterday, ironically, in my email, I got an article that was actually called The Test of Trying Times and Being Kind to Yourself When Circumstances Are Not. And I really had to laugh, and I thought, well, this is an answered prayer. Because when I read this man's article, who, by the way, is named Rob Brookler, B-R-O-O-K-L-E-R, and he's an instructor and author and apparently a meditation teacher in Los Angeles. And it sounded like an article that I would have written. And I was like, well, thank you, Angel. So I'm giving him full credit. And I want to really share with you some of his amazing points in here. And, you know, of course, I've tweaked and added a few. But what I want to talk to you about is, how do we really keep on keeping on? Here's what Rob had to say. You know, we've all arrived at those moments when we feel so overwhelmed by trying circumstances within our life. And we've done all that we can, and we've steeled up, and we've been strong, and we've kept going, and nothing has shifted. We haven't felt that great success or relief. And in our frustration and fatigue, maybe you've actually looked up to the heavens and thrown your arms open and said, how can you possibly ask more of me? And if we could really hear clearly through our distress, our anger, our fear at that moment, we'd probably hear heaven lovingly reply, we're not asking more of you. And this is the most compassionate answer. For what we see as our lessons are never sent to punish, defeat, or crush us. When we find ourselves truly anguished by our challenges, we can be sure that it is we, the little I, the little self in all of us, that we that needs to be reminded that we've done enough about these situations or those people. And while our circumstances try us and make demands on us, it is the added weight, the burden we put on ourselves of our own self-judgment, our impatience with ourselves, our circumstances, our lives, and how we can turn that into a sense of failure and injustice, or fear, which actually strengthens and can overwhelm us and prevent us from keep on keeping on. The heavens know that we learn, grow, and heal best when we are balanced and light. The balance and lightness, however, is our responsibility, our lesson. And while there is great higher support for us during our times of personal challenge, not even heaven can remove a strain or make us put down the burden basket that we are actively imposing on ourselves. So when we feel pushed and stressed to the breaking point, it is we who must ease up on the pushing. When the road is rough, balance is the test. Now, heaven can appreciate that living in physical form and facing continual trying times, uncertainty, loss, wounds, disturbing, are of course unbalancing for us and hurt and can make us afraid. But as we grow more powerful, more of the responsibility for maintaining our balance in spite of our fear, distress in those circumstances, the responsibility of maintaining our balance is the gift, the lesson that is given to us. It's a bit like removing the training wheels on the bike so we may venture out farther and have more freedom of movement. And when we encounter that bumpy road, we need to pay attention and use the discipline and the wisdom we have to attend first and foremost to our own personal balance. We're not expected to move rapidly or gracefully on this particularly challenging stretch of road. And certainly, no one would expect us to say, yippee, I love this rough part of the ride. But we are expected to pace ourselves, monitor our strength, and respect our needs and our limits. And it's the mark of wisdom, not weakness, to stop regularly, get off that bike, and say, done enough climbing for today. Think I'll rest by the road. And that's really how we can keep on keeping on till the next day. And when it's a particularly hard uphill climb, we simply can't afford to carry that extra weight of self-judgment and blame. It is at these most challenging times that we must be particularly patient and compassionate with ourselves. We need to ensure that we give ourselves rest, acknowledgement, and other activities, the ones that bring joy, that counterbalance the strain and pressures that these times or those people may impose. And when we don't do this and we push ourselves to exhaustion and then judge ourselves into despair, these times that are meant merely to move us forward can become punishing and oppressive and cause us to say, I don't want to do this anymore. So as much as we would wish heavens could simply lift us out of our state of hopelessness or desperation, this would actually be a disservice to us. Why? Because learning to honor ourselves, our needs, and our balance, even when we're challenged, is a fundamental component of all spiritual growth and life passages. It's an incredibly powerful and liberating understanding, especially now in these times of accelerated growth and change. It's a skill we need to develop, not only to survive, but to thrive. This understanding is what really goes to the heart of who we are, because how we treat ourselves is our choice and a statement about our own worthiness. It's not a power we want to defer or surrender to anyone else. In both good times, and especially in those seemingly not so good times. The choice to do this is the choice we make at every moment, and truly, it's the only thing we can ultimately control. In other words, no matter how powerful nor wise we are, we cannot always control our environment and circumstances. In life, the simple realities are, like it or not, that we all will endure losses, seemingly tough times. But we always have the choice about how we're going to respond to that, and more importantly, how we're going to treat ourselves when we go through these times. And this choice can actually make the difference between it merely being a demanding, challenging time and a truly horrible, painful passage. If we're unrelenting with ourselves when circumstances seem unrelenting, then we're actually doubling our burden. It's counterintuitive, I know. It's in those times that we have to be the most patient and supportive towards ourselves when our life seems not to be so supportive and balancing. Now, I know that treating ourselves well when the world isn't is not an easy task. It's not easy to be patient with ourselves when we're experiencing pain and fear and frustration. So what do we do? It's a time to be practical. And by that, it's making conscious practice, a conscious, regular, daily discipline to care for yourself and acknowledge yourself at least in equal measure to the challenges you're facing in your life. So, for example, if you've had a really horrible day, job hunting with no success, kids acting up, building a new business, betrayal by friends, it's really important to balance that with an activity that gives you joy. It's so important to be more considerate towards yourself, especially if you're going through times when situations and people don't seem to be showing up for you that way. And this practice applies equally well to our internal growth and healing. Confronting and processing fear and loss and wounded feelings requires a great deal of strength. So it's during these times in particular, it's important to balance these, quote, heavy feelings with activities that lighten us up and that give us a measure of peace, rest, joy, and expansion. Yeah. When we've pushed ourselves beyond our balance and when we're simply struggling in pain or stuck in self-judgment, we're no longer doing ourselves any good. And it's sure a ripple effect to we're no longer doing other people very good either. It's time to stop and rest and focus on some fun. It's time to focus on not on self-improvement and what we call spirituality, but on your self-care, which is truly being spiritual. When we're feeling beat up by circumstances and people, that's the time to do this. No matter what, whether the struggles are our internal demons or external circumstances, we're not meant to carry them 24/7 with us around the clock. It's not a wise thing to do. Clearly, tough times can make us feel unworthy. And if we let ourselves really go there, we can feel forgotten by the world, nobody cares about us, and then you start treating yourself unkindly and on and on and on. So you can really see how important this is to do. So circumstances, trying times, are never meant to call into question our value, our worthiness, our lovability. Yeah, they may challenge us, but it's not sent to punish us. We are just as worthy, just as whole, just as lovable, just as earthly, just as divine on the rough road as on the smooth one. And during those times, our power, our true power, lies in remembering this and practicing it in our own lives. And when we do that, that extra self-imposed burden and pressure will magically lift from us. And just maybe, so will the times. And heaven will smile seeing that we answered its prayer for us about how truly great, that we see how truly great we really are. And let's just have a little music. And we're back. And as I was thinking about that segment during the week to do for you, a dear friend of mine was telling me, she's a really gifted astrologer, that Venus and Jupiter also happen to be in retrograde. this week. I mean, everybody's heard of Mercury retrograde, but Venus and Jupiter means, boy, we're really impacted in the trying times around relationships, and Jupiter being about expansiveness and abundance. And she said to share the good news that that's going to be starting to shift. You know, so sometimes when we're going through just our stuff in our own life, there's also other things going around that support or enhance that. And they're both going to be moving out of retrograde this week, so hopefully we'll have some lightening up. And let me reveal the identity of that dear person. That information was given to me by Audra. And Audra, you've heard me mention several times in the last few weeks, is the one of the other amazing gifted psychics over at One to Listen. And it's my great pleasure to let you know that she is going to be on the show as a guest, my guest host, co-host, 2 weeks from today. And we'll be doing some tandem readings. And Audra, if you happen to be listening today, I happen to look up the meaning of your name, which means noble strength, and boy, spot on. So I would recommend, if you know, start getting your email questions in, because I take them, we try and take them in the order that they come in, and we had so many questions about the animals that we weren't able to get to them all. So we'll look forward to that, and I know she has a special thing that she's going to be talking about on the Inspiration Point that week. Okay, and so I just want to remind you, the lines are open at 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. And we have a question from Gabby, and Gabby states that he's unemployed and thinking about going back to school to pursue a PhD in psychology or a BA in psychology. He's also a very gifted creative writer. I think they have a degree in that. I have a BA in business and an MA in counseling, and he loves creative writing and psychology, and he's drawn to go back to school. And what is my hit on that? Well, the first thing I want to say, Gabby, or I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, is your name is a derivative of the Archangel Gabriel, which you probably know, which means God is my might. And Gabriel is really someone who watches out for writers and people who are trying to communicate to large populations, what we say, like in business and in starting new businesses. And Gabby, as I tune into you, I was surprised seeing you had an MA in counseling and you wanted to pursue a BA in psych. And what I'm picking up is that I think that sometimes you may kind of fall into the thinking you may need another degree or whatever, that's going to get you to where you want to be. So pursuing a PhD, I get a hit, that's really great, but you don't really need to go and get a BA in psychology to get a PhD in psychology. There's another avenue, perhaps a PsyD or something you can do with the counseling. What I heard really strongly, the hit is that even if you pursue this schooling, that it's important for you now to start to use what you have, no matter what venue it's in. Like you said, you're unemployed. Even if it's starting to do, I'm hearing if you're doing volunteer work in and around services or organizations that are more in alignment with where you're headed to wanting to work with people on that level, that it's going to keep your vibration high and opportunities could present themselves for you to actually have a paying job. But the sense I get is that you're kind of waiting and hoping that, well, the next degree will do it. And spirits want you to take some action now, Gabby. I'd also recommend to you the same website that I recommended to Patricia. There's a lot on there. It's called buildyourangelbusiness.com, about how important it is to take action in the direction that you want to go. That's what actually brings it in. And so I know that you're not affirming to remain unemployed and believe you need to be a student. as that's your job. It's possible for you to get paid now and, you know, to start affirming that and to start realizing I am a counselor. I'm very capable of doing this and I'm doing it now. Okay, so that would be my guidance to you, Gabby, and I wish you all the best. And with that name behind you, I think, you know, it's a matter for you to just to start using what you already know in a way with people that will start to open things. And I also see that there's a way for you to bring through some of these gifts in writing articles or blogs. And I don't know if you've been drawn to work with kids, and I get the hit more like high school kids, young adult population. You have a lot to teach, and I wish you the best of luck. Okay. Well, believe it or not, that is all that we have time for today. I'm thanking all of you for tuning in, and I wanted to remind you that the email questions, it's great if you can get them into me, you know, at least by Thursday. And I encourage you even to call in more. I realized today when I asked Jill where she was from, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, sometimes it doesn't matter if you need to call in with an alias or not. Whatever alias you choose, like Natalie did, it will probably be just spot on for you. It really is wonderful energy to have the conversations with you on the phone, and I really, really appreciate it. And in appreciation, I also want to thank Anna Taylor, who inspires us every week with the opening music, How Beautiful We Are, and the BBS production team with Dawn and the folks that helped me behind the scenes, Mark, Betsy, and Paula, thank you so much. And a big shout-out, James Stewart in South Africa, how you remind us each week to shine. And I guess this week it's to let that love and light that we give out to others to shine it back in for ourselves. So bless you and have a great weekend as we listen to James. I can see.